that would be it, and just do it, you know. But now you got to do this big long process of hire someone. Because that's the way we do things, and it won't be until next year when the pickleball court comes in.
You said you were going.
Style, that's be out of style. Pickleball's be out.
Yeah. Motion directed.
Okay, Alderman Woman, you said you were going to have a motion.
I'm motion directed. Yesterday's administration
fun.
Working with Alderman Wilhelm to prepare a contract and scope of services for an update to the site plan for the development of Pleasant View Park, including landscape plan, lighting, and picnic tables.
Second.
And a security system out there too? Okay, we have a first and a second. Any further discussion?
No further discussion.
Okay, Alderman Nelson, and then I'll hear more. No, but Mark Liberta does.
Will you?
I just want to make sure I was interpreting that as including but not limited to, or is those are the only three things you want to start with?
I just
wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we get the aspects done that really need to be done.
Okay, Alderman Nelson.
So then that's the point. So it's not just boxing us with that. Like Alderman Taylor said, could be out next year. Something else could be in. But what I'm concerned with, and this is not pointing fingers at anybody, but we want to make sure this keeps moving forward. So you're okay with taking the time to do this, because you are extending yourself a lot. Because I'm
a lot of motions. Your name in it.
You're all over this stuff.
You should be hired by the city staff.
So
the health insurance.
This is a common practice.
My expectation is I'll draft it for her to review, so most of the work will be ours. And I view this as very simple. We already have ongoing agreements with Graf, so the form of the contract, we're really looking at a couple paragraphs at most of scope of services to plug into.
Small and simple. Thank you.
Grafe? It's Grafe. Right, Mr.
That's the wrong name.
Yeah, that's right. He was a friend of mine, not the assessor. Alderman Mayer, did you have a final comment or no?
No, God, no.
Okay, we have a motion and we have a second, right? Mr. Barber, Alderman Barber. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? The motion passes. 3 in favor, none against. Make this quick, Mr. Liberta.
On what? Item 6?
No, item 6 is Franklin Senior.
Motion to place on file.
Yes. I have a first and a second. Any further discussion? I think I want to wish Casper Green well, along with Fred, who is in ailing health. But thank you for the report.
Temporarily, I hope he'll be back on the job pretty quick.
Okay. Thank you, Casper.
We've got a serious problem right now.
And Casper, for the record, did an outstanding, outstanding job singing the national anthem on Sunday at the Milwaukee Milk Fund.
Did. Oh, good job, Casper.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, there's no action needed. G7, block grant. Community development. Mark, did you want to give us a
motion to authorize the second one? Number two.
Number two, motion to authorize the director of administration.
This is just what we've done in the past, basically. Except
the only difference is because we have had not a great amount of people applying for some of the grants or qualifying, and I think part of that is our lower amount, we have recommended increasing the amount size for a project that can qualify to help make sure we're using it all and that it may be able to
Older woman, well, huh?
It doesn't prove as much from doing the things we talked about.
What the older woman's referring to is she still would like to think if we can come up with other construction projects. So I don't know that the motion needs to say that, but we can. My staff, Lisa, can begin moving forward with these steps so we can meet that. And if anybody has any other construction ideas that come up, we would still have time to interview.
I was talking mainly about the construction to the house. Did you say the checks?
Oh, yeah, that.
This won't be.
No, this would not be.
Thank you. That was
all. It's if it qualifies under the town code.
Okay. So the motion that Alderman Taylor mentioned was the secondary one,
right,
Mr. Liberta?
Correct.
Okay. So I have a motion and a
second.
Second by Alderman Barber. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Against? The motion passes 6 in favor, none against. G8 is a resolution to authorize the remainder of professional service contract to Greeley Hanson.
Option A.
Resolution to authorize the remainder of the professional service agreement. Got a first and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Against? The motion passes 6 in favor, none against. I got to go through. What's it, G10?
9.
Page 77.
Page 77. An ordinance to amend 10-1 of the Municipal Code to remove reference to meeting day and time for the Board of Public Works.
We'll move option A.
City Council, I've got a motion, but the attorney.
If you're striking the sentence providing for regular meetings, I would also recommend striking the special sentence which follows. Unless the intention was only to have special.
No, that's fine.
Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second on that one? Do you amend it, Alderman Nelson?
That was second.
Oh,
yes, second.
Yeah. Well, the City Council recommended an amendment.
Yeah, yep.
Yes.
Accept. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor? Aye. Against? Motion passes 6 in favor, none against.
Right back, Mark.
Okay, Alderman Taylor left his seat at 7:45. G10 is a preliminary 2020 budget development issues. Mr. Liberta, including the update on landfill siting fees.
So I'm going to go through this. There's a little bit here, but I am going to go through it rather quickly. So if there's questions, please ask me to back up or slow down. We will be covering both the preliminary budget and an update on the landfill siting. So the 2020 general fund revenue estimate is going to be preliminary. We have it going up about almost 2%, 1.88%. Initially, based upon history, recent history, Paul had about a 0.75% increase in growth, which gives about $157,000 in allowable tax levy increase that would effectively come from the new growth. He anticipated a step we've used each of, I think, the last 2 years, which was continuing to transfer some of the debt service levy from the debt service fund to the general fund. General transportation aids with the state, we anticipated an increase based upon the state budget and an increase of our internal expenditures, our share of the formula. Building permits, he initially anticipates reducing based upon some completion of the ballpark common. Comments things. That is an area we'll take a real close look at. It may go back up after some meetings I'll have with the Economic Development Director. We will prepare sort of a precise estimate on the larger projects occurring in town and what their timeline might be. But in the meantime, until that is done, we bring it back down to normal levels. Both engineering fees have charges for services going up by $300,000, but that's exactly offset by an expenditure that we'll talk about. So it's more of an accounting thing, but both will go up by $300,000. Interest income, interest rates are improving for our cash on hand, and so that we should see about $75,000 there. And then for the purposes of this initial estimate, he sort of, the finance director goes in and sort of takes out the transfers in and tries to neutralize the revenues, so sort of one-time things aren't continued, In this case, for example, we had taken a increase or a refund from insurance, health insurance, moved it to the general fund to help fund the high deductible HSA employer contribution that we had planned for last year. So those are out so that when we move forward, we're looking sort of apples for apples. On the expenditure side, that's going up a little bit more. Paul estimates about 4.3% with our general fund budget in the area of $24-25 million. That's about a $1.1 million increase. It's assuming a 2% wage increase across the board. If that's consistent with what we have for our fire department union agreement that was just recently approved. And if you recall the non-rep analysis that was just presented to you, I think, 2 meetings ago, this year our 1.55% sort of moved us to the back end of the middle of our comparable. So we lost a little bit of ground for where we were. So I would anticipate with some of the numbers I've seen sort of settle and planned already that the 2% is probably something that's reasonable, at least in a minimum. We've got 10% increase for health costs in here. This year so far is a good year. The changes we've made from a cost standpoint, the changes we've made have been good, but there has been some discussion trying to make sure we didn't go too far. We are seeing some noticeable, I'll say anecdotal, impact on hiring and retention based upon the changes we made. So we made those changes a year ago, in sort of anticipating where the market was going, where comparables were going. So we've already begun working on making sure that we think we, you know, hit it right last time. If we need to tweak it, we will. We do anticipate, and personnel committee and the council has indicated they were open to consideration for that, considering the employer contribution, the high deductible plan again, given that every indication is that we'll have another rebate from the health insurance side in that six-figure area that can fully fund that from within the fund itself. This doesn't include any changes in retirement or OPEB, but we do know we are going to have some. Since he put this initial information together, WRS has released the rates for next year, and the 6.55% goes up to 6.75%, so 0.2% increase. A little more than that on the police and fire side. So there will be some additional costs there. We do anticipate our workers' comp rate will stay the same, or our coefficient. We're going to stay the same, so that's good news. But the state hasn't said if they're changing the overall rates. So we could see a small increase there of a percent or two on that, but it should be too bad. There you can see the increases that Paul builds into it for increases in property insurance, contractual insurance, utilities, facilities costs. We do hold supplies, services and charges, and other operating costs at 0% increase. So that, that's, as we've talked about, that's not always a realistic expectation, but those are things we can have some control over more so than, for example, utilities. He did build in some one-time changes, some money he knew he would need for the extra amount of elections in next year. He took out the contingency influence we have, so again, we would be comparing apples to apples, and I talked about a match in engineering expense for to match the revenue already. And for his purposes, he reduced the under expenditure by $75,000 to $300,000. He continues to be concerned that having the larger amount of under expenditure built into the budget becomes harder and harder to achieve when you make your budget tighter and tighter every year by things like 0% increases in supplies. We paid for that a little in 2017, when in fact we had a negative impact on the general fund balance, whereas 2018 we had a positive impact. So that just shows that getting closer to that line makes it harder to do. So when you just put those two together, it's really simple. At this point, there's a projected deficit of $643,000. Now we're going to jump in the Wayback Machine about a year, because we spent a lot of time in last year's budget process, which is this year's budget. This is actually a page from last year's budget presentation, and we started this kind of work in the summer, and we spent a lot of time, if you recall, and I will not take you through all of last year's presentation as well. Why is every budget tough? Why are we always having these $600,000 apparent deficits? Well, and we went through and explained that in detail, and there are sort of minimum levels that it takes when you have a $24 million budget just to move forward. And we broke that out into categories, talked about them in detail, and in the end, we said we need to try to achieve that practical level of sustainability that it talked about. So the number for this year at 643 is right in line with those levels we talked about are going to happen every year. When you have the same services every year that require the same inputs and resources and labor, it's very difficult to control that. We've been doing that for years. And this is coming off, 5 years where we didn't increase the amount of tax levy.
So, Mark, just a quick question. Is that 3% then still accurate? So to make up for that, we would have to be looking at a raise in taxes of
3%? Since we did have an increase last year, that would technically be a little smaller than that. So this was just pulling the slide from last year to show you that this number of 643 should not be a shocking surprise, because it's exactly in line with what we've talked about, because we have the same influences on our budget. And these are the reasons. We talked why every budget was tough. This was sort of the summary page. Expenditure growth, the size of the annual incremental increase. The department heads, we have a lack of control of what we can buy in the marketplace. They control the prices, not only in utilities, but in all the computers we buy and the software we buy. The marketplace, the discussion talked about the fact that all the software firms have changed the nature of how they sell you software. You used to buy it 1 year and have it for about 5 years and buy it again. Now you buy it 1 year and you pay about a third of its cost every year. They give you updates for free, but it really impacts our budget and we have no control over those changes in the marketplace.
Mark, take a breath. Alderman Taylor returned to his seat at 7:55.
Levy limits are the big constraint on the budget. We talked about that extensively last year and many years recently. We even put a slide and a quote in there from a report Ehlers gave statewide that mentioned that in the short term, they're just not sustainable for the effective roles of local government. And again, we're down to largely our core municipal services. So over the last 15 years that levy limits have been there, municipalities have pared things back in order to keep meeting these levy limit requirements. There's not a lot of stuff to pare back anymore. We haven't increased our DPW. We haven't, done a lot of things. We're not providing a lot of extra services. Just this year, they reevaluated that instead of having the Saturday hours for drop-off, just take advantage of the contract we have with the landfill. And those kinds of things, municipalities, including Franklin, have been doing for a long time. So you just can't keep cutting from your core, so you have these natural increases. And again, revenue options are limited not only by statute, but by the marketplace. We can have building permits, but we can't have them with the intent of, having profit, for example. That's not by the statute. Certain revenues, if we increase the revenue, we actually have to reduce the tax levy because the state has said, no, you can't do that. So this is why we have those deficits that we have to look at. These clouds I'm giving do have a silver lining that we're into at the end. And this was the table we looked at last year that sort of puts that whole discussion in a nice perspective. That blue line that bounces at an angle, that's the actual growth we have, the allowable tax increase based on new growth. And since 2009, it's pretty much been below 2%. If you take those numbers we talked about for appropriate levels of maintaining services. That's the minimum was the red, the more practical was the yellow, the ongoing sustainability for ongoing levels was the blue. And the conclusion we reached last year in the budget was that we recommend starting at a point where the city be willing to use property tax increases to fund the minimum on it, but use cost savings and revenue enhances to fund this ongoing level. So if we're having allowable growth in the property tax rate based on statute, use that to get to this, and then find other means to fill this gap so that we can achieve that practical level of sustainability. That's right out of the conclusion from last year's budget process. And in fact, that's what we did in the 2019 budget that we're currently operating in. So with that deficit, how do we get there from here? So cutting excess appropriations, that requires a very careful review of the details. We're going to do that. We have each year, as it gets tighter, we spend more time on that. I think this year we will do it again. And I bring that up because 2018 finished with about a $750,000 surplus. And so the initial knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, let's just go cut that out of the budget, and then we're fine. We're covered. But where did that come from? $50,000 of it was a one-time cell phone tower refund from one of the providers who realized they were miscalculating something under the agreement. So we're not going to get that again. Same thing with the insurance dividend from a good insurance year. $30,000 in refunded disability payments. You cannot budget anticipating or counting on that. That doesn't usually happen. Of that, because of the service demand, that those were permits in planning and building inspection, and you reappropriated that to give them enough staff to actually perform the work required by the permit, so you can't rely on that. $126,000, if you look at the supply category, citywide in the general fund, it looks like we underspent by $126,000, but there was a $140,000 late invoice that came in for salt that didn't get booked in that year, so actually it was under. So that $140,000 goes right off the $750,000 from the top. Same thing, we budgeted anticipating one of our manufacturers here in town resolving its unspent property tax claim with the state, and we anticipate we will have a refund that has to be made. We budgeted that. That didn't happen. So that was unspent, so it looks like we didn't need it. Well, in fact, we do, and it was using fund balance anyway. And there's some additional delayed invoices. So in the end,